The Lord be with you.
And
read it from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away, and I have come back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me. But the world must know that I love the Father, that I do just as the Father has commanded me." The Gospel of the Lord. The opening prayer mentions eternal life. We right now have temporal life. Our physical life is temporal, which means it's partial. It's transitory. It's ephemeral. It's passing. We are here today and we're gone tomorrow. As the psalmist says, we are like the lilies of the field that grow up, they flourish, then they wither, then they die, they perish. Pretty good image. Pretty good image. How short life is. So I think the opening reading is calling us to a keen awareness that we're just here a very short time in our temporal life. But after we die, there will be eternal life. And that eternal life is going to be in heaven. So we should be longing for eternal life, longing to go to heaven. Never allow a day to go by in which you're not thinking about the purpose of why you're here. You're here to get to heaven. And your parents and your grandparents, remind your children every day that don't forget, we are here in this life to get to heaven. St. Teresa of Avila says that our life is like una mala noche in una mala taverna. Taverna sería cantina. I kind of like that. Our life here is like having a bad night in a lousy hotel. How about that as an image from Teresa of Avila, no? So that's the first idea. Second idea I like is that the reading of the Acts is a wonderful passage. Acts 14. There's so much that I could glean from this, but I'll take maybe two ideas. Hopefully you're following it. Paul is preaching. He's just going from one town to the next. He's just preaching and preaching and preaching. And he's being persecuted, he's thrown in jail, and then he's being stoned, and he's being beaten, and he's going to be shipwrecked. How can you not admire St. Paul? So there's so much here. Okay, how much we've really changed in 2,000 years in this sense. If in school, if a teacher touches a student like that, right away they have to call the police and the teacher can be dismissed. Did you hear what happened to Paul today? He was stoned. They thought he was dead. Well, we got rid of that rabble-rouser, that Saul of Tarsus who became a Christian. Well, finally we killed him. So, you know, his disciples thought he was dead too, so they gathered around him. And then what happens is he just gets up. Incredible passage. They thought he was dead. So he gets up, what does he do? Hey, Barnabas, let's go. Let's move on, no? What would happen if that happened today? Okay, do you have to go to the emergency room? You'd have to spend 2 days in the hospital. You'd have to get trauma treatment. You'd have to talk with a psychologist for at least 6 months. Okay, right? I mean, how far we've changed. And St. Paul says, well, I've got a bruise here. I got a bruise here. It kind of hurts in the back. This stone hit me in the head. No, I got a big bump here. I get a big bump here. But who cares? Let's move on. How much I admire St. Paul. In the United States, we are so pampered. We're so spoiled. We're pampered. You know what pampered means in English? Malcriado in Spanish, mimado. We're pampered here. How can we not admire St. Paul? They thought he was dead. And he probably had bruises all over his body. Obviously a bump in the head. Maybe a black eye. Maybe they threw a rock and hit him in the eye too. And he just moves on. So I'd like to make this one point, is that we have to learn how to be resilient. Do you know what that means? You don't, I'll tell you. Okay, resiliency means this. Remember back in the 60s, they created what was called the Super Ball? Did that arrive in the Philippines too, a Super Ball? Super Ball is a ball like this. You could bounce it, and I've always had a good arm. You could bounce it, and you could bounce it over your house. So they actually created like many Super Balls about this size, but most of them, when they start out, they're about the size of a tennis ball. Okay, do you know what Plato is? Not the Greek philosopher, but rather the thing. Okay, there's Plato, the Greek philosopher, but also there's that clay stuff that they used to play with. I think you gave it to your kids back in the 60s, and that would entertain them for 4 or 5 hours. They'd be able to make little monsters out of it, no? Now, when you drop Play-Doh to the ground, what's going to happen? Plop, huh? But how about a Super Bowl? Boom. Either we're going to be like Play-Doh, or we're going to be like a Super Bowl. Super Bowl is the one who has contradictions, but bounces back. And let me mention this to you. This is something that I want all of us to meditate upon. Are you listening? Are you? Okay. What happens when someone interrupts your plans? Are you happy? Hello? Do you get angry? Yes. Do you get disturbed? Yes. Do you question why this is happening? Yes. Well, maybe it was God that interrupted your plans. Huh? Hello? Maybe God had better plans than you had. Okay, that's the point I'd like to lay in your heart. I've learned after being here for 23 years old, I'm a pretty well organized person, but when my plans are interrupted, I'm learning now, just accept it. Why get angry? And probably the best phrase I could give you is this. It's called rolling with the punches. Do you know what that means? That's a sports phrase that has become part of modern American jargon. Rolling with the punches means this. Look. It's a boxer's expression. It's the opposite of a knockout punch. You know what a knockout punch is? Knockout punch is when they're boxing and the boxer gives you a swift uppercut or he punches you right in the nose and you, boom, you fall to the ground. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, he's out. This guy's the winner. Rolling with the punches is, you know, the boxers get hit and their jaw rolls from there to there and he comes back and he gives you a swift uppercut and he knocks you out. So life is gonna, life is gonna punch you. Life is gonna punch you. Life is maybe gonna make you fall down. Get up. Get up. Don't stay down. And that's one of the beautiful things that Paul teaches us in the first reading, is that Paul is stoned, he's hit with sticks, he's shipwrecked, he's contradicted, he's quarreled against, he's debated against, he's thrown in jail. A lot of his letters, like to the Colossians and the Thessalonians, are written when he's in jail, actually. The one Romans is written when he's in a jail in Rome. So St. Paul is persecuted, but what happens is this. He loves Jesus so much that he recognizes that Jesus is asking him to suffer these for him, and he says yes. Amen? But the key is St. Paul loves Jesus Christ. None of us will be able to do this if we do not have a deep love for Jesus Christ. If we don't have a deep love for Jesus Christ, we're going to be complainers. Complaining, 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 complaining. But if we love Jesus Christ, these contradictions come. Well, Jesus has asked me to suffer. I will offer it to him like Jacinta, who was canonized right on Sunday, for the salvation of souls. So do you understand me? Hello? Very important. Very important, because we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer. We have suffered. Let's pray for the grace not to waste our suffering. That brings me to the gospel. Jesus speaks about peace. Where are we going to obtain peace? Peace is one of the many fruits of the Holy Spirit. Many fruits of the Holy Spirit. Saint Augustine defines peace as the tranquility of order. That's the definition, the Augustinian definition. Peace is the tranquility of order. St. Ignatius, number one in the spiritual exercises, says that one of the ends of the spiritual exercises is to order the disorder. Our Lady of Guadalupe, when she told Juan Diego to gather those roses, what did he do? He just kind of threw the roses into his kilma, right? What did Our Lady do? Se las arregló, right? She ordered those roses in a very neat fashion. So if we want to obtain peace, it's going to happen when we get sin out of our lives. Our Lady of Fatima said that war comes because of sin. And Fulton Sheen says, the world wars, where do they come from? When there are many little wars waging in the hearts of individuals that will emanate to the family, the town, the city, the state, the country, the continent, and boom, World War III. That's Fulton Sheen's definition of the world war, starting in the individual hearts of many individuals. So let's pray, my friends, for these three graces. One is that we will accept the trials that God is going to send us. And maybe stop complaining, and let's learn to praise and thank God more. Amen? Amen. Next, let's pray that we recognize that peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit when we're ordering our lives of the disorder that comes from sin. And third, my first point is, if we're able to carry this out, we will experience eternal life in heaven. Amen. Mm-hmm.